Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful today. We honor you, bless you, thank you, reverence you. You've been so good. You've saved us from a devil's hell. Father, we want to thank you. Oh, you've given us the name of Jesus, the word of God, the blood. Father, all of our redemptive realities, who we are in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. We want to thank you for it. Thank you, Father God. We just bless you and honor you every day of our life. Today we draw water with joy from the well of salvation. Just to know we are saved. Just to know you really are our Father. Just to know heaven really is our home. We bless you and thank you. Now, Father, as we stand before your word, we do so with we humble ourselves. And Father, we just thank you for the power of your word. We declare today, we shall be changed by your mighty word. Father God, as we hear the word today, we shall mix your word with faith. We shall not sit idle as bumps on a log listening to the word. No, but we shall actively listen, mixing your word with faith. We release you to speak to us, direct us, guide us. Have your way with us, Father God. Whatever is necessary in our lives, lift the bowed down head. Encourage the downtrodden and those who are struggling in that area. But Father God, whether correction is needed or strength is needed, give it to your people. We'll be careful to give you all of the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray for our pastors. We pray as they embark on their cruise that they'll, Father God, just get rejuvenated. The whole family of them, Father, guard them, protect them every place the sole of their foot treads. Guard them and keep them safe on and off that boat. Father God, bless them, refresh and renew them. And we just give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Turn, shake hands with one more person. You can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Pastor Tad just got a text from Pastor a few moments ago, and he said they were getting on the boat. They've been watching so far from their app on their phone, and they're just getting on the boat now. So, praise God. Remember to keep them in prayer. And how many glad they're able to go and just their whole family just refresh and renew. They give, and they give, and they give, and they give. And it's just good to see them be able to get away with their family and refresh and renew. All right, today's message, the title of this message, There Is No God As Big As Mine. Look at somebody and tell them, there's no God as big as mine. Look at somebody else, tell them, there's no God as big as mine. You know, we were just singing about his power. And don't look, can we give it up for our worship team, Patrick, and all of the team that led us in worship? Praise God. You know, there's nothing like the joy that comes from the freedom. But it took power to set you and I free. It took a divine, God-enabled power to set us free. And he used the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And though the grave tried to hold Christ down, the grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. And he put that power in you and I. The Bible says it's dunamis, dynamite type power. Somebody said, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. It's there. God said it's there. You just act on it and know that it's there. Amen. Said there's no God as big as mine. Over in Psalm 77:13 from the New Living Translation, the psalmist said, oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? And the answer comes back, no, there is not. There's no God as big as mine. Over in Exodus chapter 8, verse 9. These scriptures are in the New Living. Exodus chapter 8. Moses was having a conversation with Pharaoh. And God had sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Pharaoh was refusing to let the people go. And you know the story. One plague, two plagues. Well, when the frogs hit, Pharaoh said, look, Moses, I want you to come and pray. The frogs have become like a locust in the land. And he said, look, I want you to pray for the frogs to leave and go back to the Nile. And Moses said, my God's a deliverer. My God will do it. When do you want me to pray? And Pharaoh told him, I want you to come tomorrow and pray. Ask your God to remove the frogs. And we see that at verse 10. And Moses said, all right, in response to Pharaoh, he said, all right, it will be as you have said, and then you will know that there is no God like the Lord our God. Moses said, there's no God. In other words, he was saying, there's no God as big as my God. He said, I'm going to pray for the frogs to leave. God's going to answer the prayer. And then Pharaoh, you will see and know there's no God like my God. No God as big as my God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah, after God answered her prayer, God answered her prayer to give her a child. She said at verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There's no rock like our God. Hannah knew about it. She told somebody, look, there's no God as big as my God. He gave me a child, she said. Over in Isaiah 45, Isaiah 45. New American Standard here, Isaiah 45. God himself weighed in on it. You can look high, you can look low. You won't find a God as big as our God. You won't find a God who's able to save, to heal, to deliver, to set free like our God. Our God's an awesome God. He's changing lives. He's breaking shackles off of people. He's saving and healing and delivering with a mighty outstretched arm. Isaiah 45 verse 5, he said, I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Verse 6, he said, that men may know from the rising of the sun, from the rising of the setting sun, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. God was saying, there's no God like your God. He was saying, no God as big as your God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, David marching out to fight his giant, to fight Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 46, that conversation with Goliath, David said this, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down, cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David was saying, in effect, there's no God as big as my God. Over and over again throughout the scriptures, we could go on and on. Solomon at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, down at verse 60, Solomon said at the dedication of the temple, he said, all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is nobody else. I said, there's no God as big as our God. Over and over again, through scripture and history, God reveals himself. He's in a category by himself. The Philistines heard that statement, there's no God as big as our God. They captured the ark through Israel's disobedience. Israel got disobedient and God allowed their enemy to take them captive. And when they took Israel captive, they took the ark. And that ark represented the very presence of God. And they were marching the ark around. And you remember what the Philistines did? They took the ark of God, representing the very presence of God, and they put the ark of God in the temple with Dagon, their God. And when they came back the next morning, Dagon was knocked over. And God was saying, in effect, there is no God like me. I'm the only God. Don't try to compare me with Dagon. And so they had the nerve. They propped Dagon back up. They got the men and they pried and lifted until they could get Dagon lifted right side back up. And they left again. They came back the next night. When they came back, Dagon's head was chopped off and his paws was chopped off. And the Philistines said, there's no God big as their God. Get him out of here. Evidently, he don't want to be compared to nobody, no other God. They set him on a mule, headed him back to Israel. But over and over again throughout our history, God has revealed himself as the only true God. In this world we live in today, we have so many idols, but we have one true God. And our one true God is our God. Aren't you glad about that? I want to make three quick points to you this morning. The first one is this. Our God, he's the God who delivers from the fire. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. He's the God who delivers from the fire. There's nobody like our God. You can't put him in a category with anybody else. He's to be compared with nobody else. He's incomparable. He's God and he's God all by himself. My mama, she used to say, he sits high, he looks low. There's nobody to be compared with God. Daniel chapter 3. And you know, the first part of this story is Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king of Babylon, and he builds this monument to himself, this big, huge sculpture. In fact, when you read the first part of the story in chapter 3, he builds a monument that's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he comes up with this brilliant idea, Nebuchadnezzar does. And he says, look, because of that, during that time, the king himself was considered, small g, was considered a god himself. And he said this, he said, what I'm going to do is get a band, an orchestra, and they are going to go out before my statue. And when you hear the band play, he said, then everybody, no matter what your god is, no matter who your god is, everybody's going to fall and worship this new Babylonian god. You're all going to fall and worship. And so the band struck up and the people started bowing. And they were bowing to his statue. They were worshiping his statue. And he had also decreed, he said, if somebody refuses to worship my 90-foot statue, 9 feet wide, if somebody refuses to worship, I'm going to throw them into a fiery furnace. And so the people from whatever persuasion, they were bowing. And the band would play and the people would bow. But word got back to Nebuchadnezzar that there were three people that he had promoted, and these three certain people were refusing to bow. You know them, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the word got back that they refused to bow to the king's statue. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, is that right? And he said, get the statue and get the band and go get Nebuchadnezzar and go get Abednego and go get Meshach and bring them here. And when they brought them in, the king said, I understand that you refuse to bow. And he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. We're going to strike up the band and I'm going to let you bow and worship. And if you bow, everything will be all right. And he said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn in a fire. And he said this, what God is there who can deliver you from my hand? And I imagine that caused a little rumbling down in the heart of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I imagine they started whispering to one another, there's no God as big as my God. There ain't no God but our God. And so they had this conversation. We'll pick up on the conversation. And we're in Daniel chapter 3. And now verse 28. Or did I go too far? 15. Go to 15. 15. I'm sorry. Go 3:15. We'll go to 28. Daniel 3:15. He said this. Now, if you're ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music. Must have been a bad band playing. To fall down and worship the image that I have made very well. He said, if you'll do it, very well. Now, but if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire, and what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, I like that because they said, look, we don't even have to think about it. We don't need no time. The king said, you know, take a moment, think about it. You know, your lives are on the line. You're going to get burnt to a crisp. Take a moment and think about it. They said, we don't need to think about it. We don't need any time. And they said, we're not going to bow. We can tell you that right now. We're not going to bow because, hey, there's nobody like our God. They said, hey, there's no God as big as my God. And they said, hey, our God is a deliverer. And you may have a mighty fire built, but our God, he'll deliver us from your fire. And I like that. They were letting their faith do the talking. I said, and when you face the fire, you ought to let your faith do the talking. Don't let your fear talk for you. Don't let your emotions talk for you. Hey, get in the word and let your faith talk for you. And so they said, we don't even need to answer. We don't need any time to respond. Our God will deliver us from your fire. Verse 18, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, these are some bad, bold boys right here. But they weren't bold in themselves. They were bold in their God. And somebody said, well, man, that sounds like a negative confession they made. They said, well, if God doesn't deliver us, then we're still not going to. It sounds like a negative. That's no negative confession. Listen, in the first statement they made, our God's going to deliver us, their faith was speaking. In the second statement they made, their commitment was speaking. They said, whether he delivers us or whether he doesn't, our decision's already made. There's so many idols like the one you got here, but only one true God. There's no God as big as my God. We ain't going to bow. And I tell you, we need that in the body of Christ today. We got a whole bunch of folk talking by faith, but we need a lot of people backing that faith up with commitment. I wish I had an amen on that. And so they said, you know, we're not going to bow. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded afterwards because he threw them in. Well, let's just read that. I'm sorry. Let's just go ahead and read that. But even if he doesn't, okay, go down to 28. I'm sorry, 28. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. What happened is that, you know the story, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, right after they said, we're not going to bow, whether God delivers us or he doesn't, he's going to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar's complexion changed. He got enraged. And he told him this. He said, okay, you're going to mess with me. He said, turn the fire up 7 times hotter. And there was some debate as to whether any human could stay. They have to take the men up there and throw them in. There was some debate as to whether. He said, get the strongest soldiers. Get reinforced soldiers. Get strong soldiers. And so they grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They tied them up in their clothes. The Bible said they had their trousers on, their coats on, their hats on, and they tied them up. And as they carried them up to throw them into the fire, they perished. The people who were throwing them in the fire perished from the heat. It was so hot. You ever been in a situation where the fire was turned up? Or you felt the fire of a trial, of something that you're going through? I said, God, your God, he's a mighty deliverer, and there's nobody like your God. And if you'll use your faith and your commitment like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I said, he'll bring you through. Yes, he will. And so they threw him into the fire. And when they threw him into the fire, they noticed that the men who threw him in perished right away. They died. But the king also noticed there was some commotion within the fire. That's where we pick up 28. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. 29, therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, their houses reduced to rubbish heap. Inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Now he went from verse 15 saying, what God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? To verse 29 saying, there's no God like their God. There's no God as big as their God. There's no God who can deliver like that. I said, he's the God who delivers from the fire. And what he doesn't deliver you from, he will deliver you through. They got thrown into the fire, but God delivered them through the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he saw a fourth person. They threw three of them in. He saw four, and he said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And the Bible says that when they came out of the fire, that they didn't even smell. They didn't. Their hair was not singed. Their clothes were not burnt. Their skin was not burnt. They did not even have the smell of the fire on them. There's no God. Look at somebody and say, there's no God as big as my God. Look at somebody and say, my God did that. My God did that. If you're going through adversity today, pray, turn it over to the Lord. He's got the power to bring you through. There's no fire you're facing that the power of your God won't deliver you through or deliver you from. Secondly, he's the God who answers with fire. Go with me to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. I just told you he's the God who delivers from the fire. But my second point, listen, he's the God who answers with the fire. He's the God who answers with the fire. 1 Kings 18, the continuing story of Elijah, the prophet. And Elijah had prayed, you know, in chapter 17 coming into 18 that it wouldn't rain. And the Bible says that he prayed that it wouldn't rain. God answered his prayer and it didn't rain for 3 years. And Ahab, the evil king in Samaria, hated Elijah. And throughout the chapters there, he's hunting Elijah. He's hunting for Elijah. He wants to kill him. Ahab's wife, Jezebel, he and Jezebel want to kill Elijah. And Elijah is hiding. And Ahab tells one of the prophets, and the Bible says this prophet was a man of God, prophet true to the Lord. But Ahab tells Obadiah, the prophet, he says, we need to go and our livestock are going to die if we don't find some pasture for them. And he says, I'm going to go one way in the land and look for green pasture. You go the other way and look for green pasture. Obadiah agrees to do it. And as Obadiah is looking for the green pasture, he bumps into none other but Brother Elijah. And Obadiah and Elijah have a conversation. And Obadiah says, oh, Ahab is mad at you. Ahab has hunted the whole earth looking for you, Elijah. He's going to kill you. And Elijah says, you go tell him to meet me at Mount Carmel. I'm going to set up a meeting at Mount Carmel. And he says, no, I don't want to do it. Obadiah says, I don't want to do it because if I go back, the Spirit of the Lord is going to carry you somewhere. I don't know where the Lord is going to take you. And then I'm going to come back and then Ahab's going to think I tricked him. He's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. No. And Elijah promises him, I'll be here. I'll meet him right here. And so they set up the meeting and Ahab shows up and Ahab begins by insulting Elijah, and he calls him a troubler of Israel. And Elijah responds and says, you, through your disobedience to the one true God, you troubled Israel. And in the midst of all of that, Ahab and his evil queen Jezebel had killed so many of the prophets of God, the true prophets of God. Obadiah had hid 100 by 50s in a cave, feeding them bread and water that Ahab didn't know about. And he'd killed so many of them, and he had raised up listening, following Baal, following their idol. Their idol was Baal. And they had 450 prophets to Baal that were on Ahab's payroll. They had another 400 prophets to the Asherah, another idol. And so through all of these 850 prophets, then Ahab had stopped following God, stopped following the Lord, was trying to follow idol gods, gods who were no gods at all. We pick up the story, 1 Kings 18:36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. The time of the offering of the evening sacrifice means that the whole rest of the day had passed, because what Elijah told Ahab is, with your evilness promoting these other prophets, let's just see who's God. And Elijah said this, if God, he gathered all of Israel to him, and then Ahab and Jezebel, and he said this, if God, Jehovah God, if he's God, then let's follow him. But if your God, Baal, is God, then let's follow him. And let's see who the God is who will answer by fire. And he challenged the prophets of Baal. And he said, listen, you go get two oxes. You guys take one ox, give me the other ox, cut the ox up, put it on the altar. Don't put fire under it. And he said, then I want you to call on Baal. I want you to call on all of your idols. I want you to call on your God. Call on your God to light that sacrifice. Call on your God to burn up the ox, to burn up the wood, to burn up the sacrifice. And so you know the story. The 450 prophets, they come over and they start chanting to Baal. And they're asking Baal to light the fire. They're talking to Baal, light the fire, Baal. And nothing happens. Halfway through the day, Elijah interrupts them and starts mocking them. And Elijah said, well, maybe you need to yell a little bit louder because Baal may be hard of hearing. And that put him in more of a frenzy. They started cutting themselves. And then Elijah told him, he said, well, maybe your God went on a trip. He might not be home. Maybe your God on a trip. He may not can hear you. And they were cutting themselves in a frenzy. And finally, you know, Elijah, he had jokes. He finally said, I love it in the Living Bible. You read in the Living Bible. He said, maybe your God's sitting on the toilet. Read the Living Bible. That's what he said. Your God probably sitting on the toilet. And the more they cut themselves, the more they chanted, the more they went into that hysteria. But there was no answer. The Bible says no answer at all. And finally, at the time of the evening sacrifice, after they had tried all morning, all afternoon, finally, Elisha comes forward. Elijah. 1 Kings 18:36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. 38, and then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You say, what water? On three different times, he had a trench dug, and then he had it filled with water, and then he had it filled again, and even over the ox and over all of the wood, he poured water over it three times just so that there would be no question about who had set that fire. There'd be no question about who was the God who answered by fire. And so as he prayed, the Bible says, 38 again, then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stone, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, this is the people of Israel, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And there began to be a different chant in Israel. And they began to shout, there's no God as big as my God. Our God, Jehovah God, he's the only Lord. I want you to know this. Our God, he is the awesome God who answers with fire. And the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the greatest fact in all of human history. And for somebody in this room today, it's time for you to get off the fence. You've been sitting on the fence like Israel was sitting on the fence. They were on the fence debating, well, maybe Baal's God, maybe Jehovah's God, maybe Baal's God, maybe Jehovah's God. And today, it's time for you to get off that fence. There's one true God, and he is Jehovah God. And the resurrection of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the greatest fact in all of human history. And God beckons to you today to get off the fence. If you've been wavering in your commitment to God, wavering in your decision for Christ, wavering in your decision to follow God, hey, today is the day. Don't let your heart be hardened. God's calling you. God's talking to you. He is the God who delivers from the fire. He is the God who answers with the fire. Finally, he is the God who will set your life on fire. Now, there are some things, my brother and sister, that are just not good when they're cold. I don't know about you, but I never like to eat pizza when it's cold. It don't taste the same. Cocoa when it's cold don't taste the same. I'm not going to talk about food long. I know this is my final point. I thought if I'm going to talk about food, I better make it the last point so I don't get stoned up here. I'm rounding third, headed for home. Macaroni and cheese don't taste good when it's cold. Try some barbecue ribs or some brisket. It don't taste good unless that's hot. I said, I wish I had an amen. Yeah. But the Christian life was created with you and I to live and to be on fire for Jesus Christ. And that's the only way it works. Revelation chapter 3, the angel of the church of Laodicea said, the amen and the faithful, Revelation 3:14, the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God says this, I know your deeds that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot but because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. God has a problem when we are lukewarm. He says, look, I'd rather you even be cold rather than to be just lukewarm. The Christian life was made to be lived with you and I on fire for Jesus. There's no other way. I said, there's no other way. God is saying he wants us to be on fire for Christ. And if anybody in this world, anybody on this planet needs to be on fire for Jesus Christ, it is you and I in the body of Christ. This world is going through some unprecedented times now. This world is going through some trying times now. But that is a requirement for you and I to rise, oh, with the Lord Jesus alive in us and bring peace and help and healing to a hurting world. Amen. Jesus, he took ordinary mundane folk, ordinary mundane men and women. And they committed their lives to him after his resurrection. He set them on fire. The book of Acts says everywhere they went, they turned their world upside down. Prior to his resurrection, they were weak and they all ran and fled. The night he was arrested, they fled. Except for Peter, he denied him. They were weak and they were stumbling, fumbling, bumbling. But oh, after the mighty resurrection, they caught fire. The Bible says they were in that upper room praying in Acts chapter 2. Oh, and when the power of the Holy Ghost was poured out, he was poured out. The Holy Ghost with fire was poured out on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues, every one of them, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They got on fire. They turned their world upside down. Let me tell you something. We are not serving some dead god like Baal, like Dagon. We're not serving some dead cheap idol who can't hear us when we pray. We're serving the living God, and he's alive. Glory be to God. And I want to remind you, our Savior, our Jesus, he's not some dead Jesus. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. So the resurrection, they became bold defenders of the gospel. When they crucified him, God raised him from the dead, and that tomb is empty today. And the first step in becoming on fire for Christ, the first step is obedience. The second one is holy living. Obedience and holy living, and then commitment. And I want you to know this. The Bible speaks again and again about you and I, the necessity that we be on fire. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Now listen, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:9. Fervent. And you know what the word fervent means? It means hot. It means on fire. The Bible commands you and I to be fervent in spirit, to be hot, to be on fire for God. Do you remember after the resurrection on the Emmaus Road and Cleopas and the other brother, they were walking 7 miles to Emmaus and Jesus joined them. They didn't know it was Jesus and he was hidden from them. And he went on sharing the scriptures about himself. He asked them what they were upset about. And Jesus, without them knowing, he took them to the word. He was telling them every scripture from the Old Testament that applied to him. And then they coaxed him in to come into Emmaus and he broke bread. And when he broke bread, they recognized it was the resurrected Jesus. And instantly he disappeared. You ever read that story, Luke 24? Instantly he disappeared. And but Cleopas and the other brother, when they were talking after the Lord disappeared, they said this: when he was talking to us on the way here, when he was sharing the scriptures, our hearts were burning on the inside. We were on fire when we were hearing the word of God. We were burning on the inside. They were fervent on the inside. 1 Peter 4:7. Peter said, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober in spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Over and over again, Acts 18, the Bible tells us, talking about Apollos, that he was a man, verse 25, who was fervent for the Lord, on fire for Christ. I said, there's no other way to live the Christian life. You may be here today and you may be thinking, you know, Brother Bill, that was me. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're saying is true because that was me. At one time in my life, I was on fire for Christ. But I've lost my fervency. I've lost my passion for the Lord. You may be saying, I've turned. I've gone my own way. I've backslidden. I've gone my own way. Oh, but I want you to know something. God loves you. And let me tell you something. God, he is speaking to you this morning. And you know what he's telling you? Come on home. He's knocking at the door of your heart while you're sitting right there, while you're listening. Listen, he's telling you, come on home. He's extending open arms to you, open arms of love, and he's welcoming you to come on back home. Let me tell you something. The most unhappy person on the planet is a Christian who's out of fellowship with God. When you lose your fellowship with the Lord, you lose that fervency, you lose that heat, that passion for Christ. Let me tell you, the first thing that's going to go is your joy. And you can mask it. You can mask it only so long. You can mask it only so long. You can find temporary happiness. But let me tell you this, houses, cars, clothes, and money, it's just all temporary stuff. Stuff that moth and dust can corrupt and rust. But there's only one source of true joy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And living in a vital, thriving relationship with Jesus Christ will produce joy, unprecedented joy in your life. You may not even have a car, but if you got Jesus, you'll have joy. Your house may not be on the top of a hill, but if you have Jesus, you'll have joy walking around in your apartment. You may not wear the finest clothes, but if you have Jesus, you'll have joy, unspeakable and full. I wish I had an amen, and full of glory. He is the only source of joy. And you may be here today, and you turned your own way. You did your own thing, and that joy is not evident in your life. You're masking it. Oh, but God, he's beckoning to you today with arms wide open. It's time to come home. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You may be here saying, wait a minute, preacher. I've never had the chance to do that. I've never surrendered control of my life to Jesus. I've never given complete control of my life to Jesus. I've never done that yet. Oh, but today is your day. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says that life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. With every head bowed this morning, every eye closed, you say, preacher, You're talking to me. You're talking to me. Something's going on in my heart. Something's going on in my heart. I can tell you what's going on in your heart. God himself, God's dealing with you. God himself, he's reaching out to you. God is knocking on the door of your heart. He's trying to get your attention. Oh, we said our God's the deliverer from the fire. There's another fire we must be concerned about. We have a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. And Jesus is our deliverer from that hellfire. With every head bowed today, every eye closed, let me see your hand in this place. You say, I need Jesus in my life. I need the Lord in my life. I want you to show me your hand. I need the Lord in my life. You say, I'm here. I haven't been walking for God. I haven't been living for God. But I want to get right with the Lord today. I want to make it right with the Lord today. Show me your hand. I want to make it right with the Lord today. I want to get right with God. Help me, ushers. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I want to make it right. I don't want to go on like this. I want to be on fire. Like you said, be on fire for Jesus. I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to make it right. I want to get right with God. Oh, God's going to help you. But let me tell you this, for God to help you, you've got to make a step now. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this evil generation, I'll be ashamed of you. And so today is your day. I want God in my life. I want to receive him. I want to receive him. I want Jesus. I want to give my life to him for the first time. I want to give my life back to him. You may be here. You say, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Like you said, they were on fire, Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. With your head bowed or your eyes closed, I'm going to just count to three. And when I get to three, you want to respond to one of those invitations, I want you just to stand up on your feet. I want you to boldly, when I get to three, I want you to just boldly stand up on your feet right where you are. You raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. You know God's dealing with you. One, I just want you to stand up. Listen, answer his call. He's speaking to you. He's trying to help you. God's trying to get something to you. Two, oh, God's moving. Christians, you're praying. Oh, yeah. Three, just stand right up on your feet. Wherever you're at in this auditorium, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We're all one big family. Just stand boldly up on your feet. Just stand up on your feet right now. Stand up on your feet right now. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to do the next step. Come down here and let me pray for you. Just step out of the aisle. Just excuse yourself. Come right down here. Let me pray for you. God's going to help you. Oh, God's your deliverer. He's going to help you today. Praise God. Just come right down here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't you be ashamed. Come right down here. Oh, you know God's dealing with you. You know he's tugging at your heart. Oh, God's got something so good for you. God's got something so good for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God's presence. Praise God. Come on now. God's dealing with you. God's dealing with you. It's not a man that you're coming to. It's your heavenly Father that you're responding to. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, man. God means business. The question is, do you mean business? Praise God. Praise God. If you'll come, he's going to help you. You'll come, he's going to meet you. You'll come, God's going to help you in a powerful way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come right over here. Praise God. Praise God. Come right over here. Hallelujah. Somebody else, God's dealing with you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, he is waiting. He's waiting on you. Someone says, I wonder what people will think of me. I don't want someone to think the worst of me. Listen, we're one big family in God. And right now, it's time for you to think more about the condition of your spirit, condition of your soul, than it is about someone else. I know there's somebody else here, and I just feel so strongly God's dealing with you. Come on down here and let God help you. Let the Lord minister to you. If you'll answer his call, I tell you, God will meet you in the most wonderful way. He will help you. He will deliver you. He will see you through. Come on down here. The altar's still open. Come on. Let the Lord help you today. Don't keep resisting him. You're sitting there in your seat. You're resisting him. You're resisting him. Come on down here and let him help you. I know you're here. You know you're here. The Holy Spirit knows you're here. Let him help you. He will help you. He will help you. Praise God. God bless you. He will help you. He will help you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Come on. God's helping you. God's trying to help people. He's trying to help his people. He's trying to help. He loves you. He loves you. But there's a step you must take, and this is that step. This is that public acknowledgement. You must take that step. Oh, but if you take the step, you'll never be the same. You're going to never be the same. He's going to meet you in a wonderful way. He's going to meet you in a powerful way. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? God wants to help you. You folks down here at the altar, just lift one hand to the Lord, if you will. Because after all, you're not coming to man. You're coming to God. Oh, and he's going to help you today like you've never experienced before. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Lift one of your hands to the Lord. Say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you. Just pray it out loud. I come to you in Jesus' name. You know my heart. You know my life. And I ask, just pray it out loud. You know my heart. You know my life. And I ask you now, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Make me the person you want me to be. And I'll live for you every day of my life. And I'll serve you forever. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, that prayer you just prayed, it's as easy as receiving a gift when somebody gives you a gift. If I said I was going to give you these books, what would you do to get them? You would just reach out and get them. That's what you just did in that prayer. You just reached out to receive what God has for you. And we have books like that for every single one of you in our prayer room. We're just going to give to you. We want to bless you. But I want you to know something. God, the step you've taken today, God is going to, he is going to meet you in the most awesome way now. And he's not a liar. You asked him to come in or you rededicated your life. Listen, he's not a liar. He's done that as you've prayed it. But there are so many other redemptive realities and benefits. And this is Reverend Greg Finley. He is going to take you to a place of prayer, give you materials for free of charge, answer any questions, and help you with any questions that you have. You will mark this day down in your life as a huge turning point when you see the power of God and answers to prayer in your life like never before. I'm going to ask you to go with Reverend Greg there, and he's going to help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's do what our pastors have taught us. Just extend your hand to them. Father, we just pray for everybody going to the prayer room right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for ministering to them in a wonderful way, for helping them, strengthening them. Father, whatever it is they need, we thank you that they'll have their needs met. May they all be filled with the mighty Holy Ghost. Father God, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, help them, bless them, touch them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God's an awesome God. Amen. Well, there's no God as big as my God. Look at somebody again. Tell them there's no God as big as my God. Yeah. Somebody else, you're still here in this auditorium and God is still dealing with you. And you better make that right. You better make that right. He loves you.